It's good just to be in front of you guys. I feel privileged to share the word of God with you. It's my first time to share the word. I never preached before, so bear with me. There are going to be hiccups and there are going to be shakes. But you are my family. I know you forgive me. the Lord is good. He's doing so much in our lives. He's blessing us. He's opening doors for us, and he's showing himself to us as families, as a church, as a whole. As you are aware that we are moving next door, I think in March, and she was saying about the stair lift, so we're looking for at least £5,000 to get the lift installed next door. So that was the cheapest quote we could get. So on the 4th of March. Yeah. So don't be left out. Please contribute because we want to purchase this lift and it's going to be for good use. Amen. Yeah, I'm just going to share with you something a little bit that the Lord has put on my heart. And I've entitled my message, Compassionate Generosity. And the title is going to come out from the book of Acts. Your Bibles. You can open the book of Acts 2:42-47. I'm going to read. And they were devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching, the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all come upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were all selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day. One of the things that strikes me from this text is that these believers, they were relatively new people coming to the Lord. Some of them, I would like to believe, they just heard the word for the first time. And they took that word that the apostles were sharing with them and they ran with it. They responded to the word. And I would like to believe they had faith. The presence of God was upon those believers. I would like to believe also that they had a childlike faith. You know, a childlike faith. That the children, they just got that amazing faith. I'll give you an example of my own children, Hannah and Gabby. I like it when they are praying. I listen to their prayers and one of the prayers that they do is, they said, Lord, make sure dad is in good health so that he goes to work and get more money to go on holiday. Also, make sure that Gabby is going to be good tomorrow and also make sure I'm going to be good tomorrow. So it's amazing. And also recently, I was talking to Hannah. She fell off a hoverboard. So I was worried. I said, well, was that a good gift for them or wasn't a good gift for them? But when she fell, she came, she was crying, and she came to me, and she says, Daddy, I'm so sorry. Can I pray for you? That was on a Saturday. So he says, can I pray for you? He says, don't worry, because tomorrow we've got Sunday school. They will pray for me, and I'll be well. So she didn't believe my prayers. She believed the prayers for... So, yeah, that's the kind of faith I'm talking about. And when she came on Sunday, she went to the Sunday school. When she came back, she said, Dad, you know what? I'm healed. And she was running after about. So that's the kind of faith that I'm talking about. And also, the early church, they devoted themselves to the doctrine or teaching of the apostles. As we had 3,000 members were added to the church. And that church, they were thriving. They attended to the word of God. They took what the apostles taught them. They just didn't hear the word and ignore the word. They took it. They took it personal. And also, I wrote here, they began to realize that they were bought at a price. No longer owners, but stewards. They were serving one another. They were there for one another. They were selling their possessions to suit someone's needs. If anyone had need those days, they were there for them. Reg, you say you are struggling with this. I'm going to sell this. I'm going to sort your needs. And so they were willing to sell everything, and they had shared and share amongst themselves. So, because they had that generosity hearts, they had the word, and they heard about this Jesus. I'm sure when the apostles were preaching to them, they were preaching about Jesus to them. And they took what the apostles were saying. That was the word of God. And they took it personal. They see their lives looking at Jesus' life, how he came on this earth and how he died for us. I would like to think that's how they responded. He was nailed on the cross for them. So I'm sure they took that word personal. They said, if he could do this for me, what can I do for him? Amen. So also they became a powerful community, also sharing Christ's gospel and lordship of Christ. So the lordship of Christ was center of everything. Everything that they were doing, Jesus was the center of everything. Amen? Amen. I also wrote here, the teachings of apostles, that early church got hold of the word, it changed their lives for good. Their minds were renewed by the word of God. The word became alive in their hearts. It changed their way of thinking. As the Bible tells us, they were selling everything, and all the proceeds, they were going to anyone who had need. Friends, the more we spend time in the Word of God, our minds are renewed. We begin to see people differently. We begin to see potential in people rather than say, oh, that's just storm, that's storm. But we begin to see beyond storm. We begin to see how God sees his people. Amen. Moving on. And the more they spend the word of God, I've touched that. And as we heard in the text, they opened their hearts. That resulted in open hands, open homes. They were generous, hospitable people who gave willingly. There's power in giving willingly. They were also giving worshipfully, joyfully, sacrificially, and intentionally. I like to hear when they say sacrificially. I'm going to tell you a bit about my life, how I never grasped giving sacrificially and intentionally. I'm going to share just a small testimony with you. 3 or 4 years ago, I'm just going to talk about tithing. 3 or 4 years ago, I was someone. I used to tithe whenever suits me. Whenever I had extra, that's when I'll tithe. Whenever I had extra, that's when I'll help somebody. So, I used to work a lot. I used to do so many hours, and even though I was getting money, the money was never there. I was just running. It was a life of thriving. It was a hard life. But when I was studying the Word of God more and more and more, what is it to give joyfully? What is it to give sacrificially? I started tithing. I started to give my tithe. The devil give you all the reasons to say, you don't have enough to tithe. Those days, I had all the reasons to say, I can't tithe because I just got enough for me and my family. I remember my kids then, they were at nursery, so we used to pay over $1,600 a month. So the devil always reminded me, look, you don't have enough to tithe. And I said, yeah, you can see that, I don't have enough. But my life then was even difficult. It was a life of striving. I was able to work more to get, even the money wasn't coming. But the more I studied the word of God, I started tithing. I said, you know what, God, I'm going to try you as you said in your word. I'm going to try. So I tried. And to be honest, I cut my hours almost by half of what I used to do. And that's when I started my business. I started my business, I think, with £2,000. And I said to God, I'm trusting you with this. I'm paying my tithe. I only got £2,000. I want to start my business. So I started my business. I never borrowed like most companies do. We don't owe anyone anything. So I started my business with £2,000. I said, Lord, I'm starting my business. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give, as you said in your word. And if I can be honest with you, the Lord has been so faithful. He's blessed me, and my business grew and grew and grew. I employ almost about 22 people, and we contribute tax as well. And the other things on top of that, just how the Lord works if you become obedient to him. So my encouragement to you guys, give and give and give. I also wrote here, they were devoted, as we read in the text, that 3,000 souls were added to the church. This was through the open hearts, open homes. It reminds me of the book of Acts 16, the story of Lydia. Lydia, she was a business merchant. She was selling expensive cloth, and when Paul and Silas went to preach the word, they met up with Lydia, and she didn't only open her heart, but she also opened her homes. The Bible tells us that Lydia gave her life to Jesus. Even her household was also saved. As a businesswoman, she could have just said, you know what, I don't have time for the apostles. You know, I've got my business to run. I've got nothing to lose. But no, she opened her heart. And she also opened her house for the apostles. After the apostles ministered to her, she invited the apostles, please come to my house. Those were the open. She opened her home for the apostles as well. We also read in the book of Corinthians 2, verse 9, when they did the collection of the Christians in Jerusalem. So Paul was saying to them, you want them to give willingly, not grudgingly. There's a difference between giving willingly and grudgingly. I'll tell you an example of one of the African churches I used to attend, and one of the guys, this guy used to do this almost every Sunday. You take his money, you start dancing, going around in circles. So then I didn't know, what is he doing? Is he trying to show off? But reading the word, I know he was giving willingly, not grudgingly. He was happy to give what he had that time. Amen. The book of Acts as well, verse 6, it says, remember this, a farmer who plants few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously, you get generous cloth, not cloth, crop, I'm still in the cloth, so you get generous crops. So, friends, we must decide in our own hearts how much you want to give. And not just to give reluctantly or a response to pressure, just going to give because Jen is giving. I'm just going to give, you know. No. The Bible is telling us that don't give reluctantly or a response to pressure. For God loves the person who gives cheerfully. And God will provide all your needs. Then you always have everything you need and plenty left overs, as the scripture says. So, yeah, the early church, they share freely and give generosity to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is one of the one who provides the seeds for the farmer and then the bread to eat. In the same way, you provide and increase your resources and then produce great harvest of generosity in you. We move on to Luke 6:38, just another encouragement. The Bible says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I like it when it says, will be poured into your lap. Not drips, but it will be poured in your laps. For the measure you give, the measure you use will be will be measured to you. So My challenge this afternoon for you guys is just to open your hearts and open your homes. Just to bless someone. Just to open your homes for somebody. Just invite someone for a meal. Just a text. Can you come for coffee? That's my challenge for you. Maybe if you can ask yourself, when was the last time you invited someone in your home? Just for a cup of tea or just for a chat. That's my challenge for you guys this afternoon. Just make it a habit that you invite someone to your house. Like we do in our home groups. We always try and invite new people. And in those small groups, that's where the relationships are forged. That's where we get to know each other. That's where we get to know the needs of my friend next to me. It's quite difficult for a big congregation to know everyone's needs, but in those small groups, friends, that's where the relationships are forged. That's when we pray for one another. That's when we know the needs of my friend next to me. My next point, I'm still on giving. I wrote here, I've noticed whatever you give is going to come back to you. Whatever you give is going to come back to you. It might not be the same channel, but that's the principle of giving. Whatever you give is going to come back to you. You know, some people will say, you reap what you sow. Let's take that in a positive, that you reap what you sow. So if you sow good things in people, you reap good things from people. If you give good advice, you get good advice from other people. The other thing about giving, people always think when people talk about give, it's always about money. It's not always about money. There's a lot we can give. I wrote here, you can give yourself like what God did. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ. God didn't say, right, I'm going to give you 100 pounds, 100 pounds, 100 pounds, 100 pounds, 100 pounds. No. He gave something more than money. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. For us, for me and you to be here today, he died on the cross for us, friends. So someone might ask me, so how do you give yourself? What do you mean, give yourself? So I've put a few things here. By supporting someone mentally or emotionally. Someone might be grieving. Just be there for that person. Just encourage them. Read the Bible for them. Look for verses that encourage them. And also, you can also help someone, or basically just giving someone time. Just bless someone with your time. Just to be there for somebody. Just to hear what they are talking, what they are going through. And if there's anything that you can do, you can do. You can pray. You can encourage them from that pit where they are. You can point them another direction. You can give even a testimony. So, you know what? What you're going through, I've been there. You're not alone. Do you know, sometimes we feel, you know, my problems, the problem I have, I don't think someone's got the same problem. I'm in the worst position, you know, until I tell you my problem. That's when you're like, oh, that's my problem is not your problem. So until then, you'll never know if you don't invite people, if you don't get to know people. Amen? So, I was going to just show kind of a few pictures when people give themselves to the work of God, helping out. So that picture, those were your clothes, guys, you gave. And when we went to that place, the people who were in charge, they were surprised to see the amount of clothes that you guys gave. So you need to pat yourself on the shoulder. And I know you can do more. We are trying to do more of this. When the homeless guys came in, there were a lot of clothes. Usually, last time I heard, there were not enough clothes for females. There were only clothes for only males. But on that day, everything was there. The guys were surprised when the homeless guys came in. They were like, wow. You know? So That's the giving I'm talking about. Those things that are sitting in your attic for years and years, bring them along. They'll make a difference in someone's life. Those clothes you got for Christmas that you don't really like, someone will like them. You know? That shoe you say, oh, this is not my style, will make a difference in someone's life. Amen? So don't take those things for granted. Whatever you feel is not enough or it's not for you, will make a difference in someone's life. The next slide. So that was just us giving ourselves. We cooked a meal for how many guys?
80.
About 80 guys. We didn't have any money that day. We didn't bring anything that day. But we just ourselves. We gave our time. So there's always something to give. There's always something to share. There's always something to go around. And as you can see, those happy people. That was the first day, I think, for the compassion meal. Then the next one. Yeah, so that day, we're trying to encourage our kids to say, what we say, let's go out and do what we say. Our children, and we team up with Sola and their son. So we went into the street. We put all sweets together, some bits and pieces to eat, and we took all those things to the street. So that was the kids giving. As you can see, that lady, she was surprised. What are you doing? What are you doing? As you can see with that look, but those were kids that were giving themselves to the people. When they grow up, they'll know there's more to this life. There's more to this life. And they're learning how to give, how to be generous to people, how to be good to people. That's how we should encourage our kids' friends. So that was in Princess Street. It was so cold that day, so I thought the kids were complaining. But no, they were so happy. And they were going from place to place, one person to another, and just showing the goodness of God, the grace of God, the love of God that we have for everybody. And also, that was, I think that was the puppet show. We need to do more of this, guys. I think this was when people from the community, they were also invited to come. And look how many people were there. So we need to do more of this. To show people the goodness of God. Just to show people the love of God. We may not be able to give them everything they need. But that little we have, we can share with them. That was a puppet show with D and the team. It was just kids playing during that day. And this one was yesterday. We were painting. So that's another way of giving yourself. You know what? I don't have money today. I don't have anything extra to give you, but I'm free to come. Just come along and help out. We'll be moving next door. So give more of yourself, friends. That's my encouragement for you today. It doesn't matter. Don't think you're not of any good. You are good. Whatever you can do, you make a difference. God created us all differently. He's got something for every individual. Every one of us, God has deposited something special in our lives. Let's use those things that God gave us. Let's encourage one another. Let's be there for one another. Let's lift someone's hand. Come on, you can do it. We live in this world, a miserable world. But because we know who we are, we want to make a difference in people's lives. I also put here, some people, they think they've got, they don't give because they feel they've got nothing to offer, or they don't have enough to give, or enough to go around. I've talked about that. Just give everything. Everything that you don't need, someone will need it. Those small things, everything. Something that you don't need, people will use it. You'd be surprised. If you give me a pair of shoes, I'll be wearing that pair of shoes. I'm so bad with buying shoes. So if you give me that, I'll be wearing it. I'll be happy. Don't overthink when you're giving. Just give. Just give. Because sometimes I don't give because what are they going to say when I give them this? They might think, no, just do your bit. Just do your bit. Also, the Bible in Deuteronomy 16:17 tells us, all we must give as they are able, according to the blessings of the, all must give as they are able, according to the blessings given to them by the Lord. Don't give to be seen. Don't give so that Gareth will know that I've given. Don't do that. Just give out of your heart. Amen. Moving on. I'm almost finished. Don't panic. We also learned that the early church, they were like partners. You know, they were not like spectators or just, yeah, you do it, I'll be watching. Okay, so what's going on? Okay. No, they were like partners. They came together. They were in one accord, sharing the word together, helping one another. I heard something here, somebody saying, a part-time Christian cannot defeat a full-time devil. You know, the devil is full-time. Friends, you need to remember that he's full-time. All he needs is to put things in your head and to destroy you, and he'll be happy. So you can be a part-time Christian to defeat a full-time devil. Amen? The other one. Last page. And another verse also, just to remind you, is let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm for God. God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglecting the meeting, like what we are doing now. Let us not neglect that meeting, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is getting closer. Some people will say, right guys, your days are numbered, Jesus is coming. But I don't want to say that. I want to say, prepare, his coming is closer. Even account of something that when Jesus appears, you'll be able to say, I've done this for you, Lord. I've done for you, Lord. I've done this for you. Look for something else to do, just to bless someone, just to make account of what you're doing on this earth. You are important as you are. God sees us. He sees us the same. He gifted us. He wants those gifts to work, not to lay dormant. So never think that you are less important. You think other people are important. No, that's not how God sees us. You are important as you are. God deposited something in your heart. So as I close, we're just going to break the bread and share the wine together. If we can look, probably open our Bibles in the book of Luke 22. You know, breaking bread for me, I'm just going to be honest, it's one of the things that sometimes I just take it for granted. I just say, you know what, bread is coming, I just take the bread, drink the wine, you know, and that's it. But I was reading the Word of God, and, you know, I was thinking, I think there's more I should do about this. It's not just taking the bread on a Sunday morning, and there's more. And just to remember, it's more like a day of remembrance that Jesus died for us on the cross. He went through so much pain for us. So before we take the bread and share the wine, I just wanted to kind of think more about it. Why am I doing this? Am I just taking this because that's what's happening that day? No. There's more to it. He died on the cross. He died a painful death. He died a painful death. So let's just open our Bibles in the book of Luke 22. I'm just going to read. The festival of unleavened bread, which is also called the Passover, was approaching. The leading priests and teachers of religion law plotted how to kill Jesus. But they were afraid of people's reactions. Then Satan entered Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples. And he went to the leading priests and captains of the temple guard to discuss the best way to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted, and they promised to give him money, so he agreed, and he began looking for opportunity to betray Jesus so they could arrest him when the crowds went around. Verse 7. Now the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb sacrificed, Jesus sent Peter and John and said, "Go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat together." So they asked, "Where do you want us to prepare?" They asked Jesus. He replied, "As soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, he says to the owner, 'The teacher asks us where the guest room is, where I can eat the Passover with the disciples. He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set. This is where you should prepare our meal.' They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared a Passover meal there." Verse 14. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you, now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, "Take this and share it amongst yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread. He gave thanks to God for it. He broke in pieces and he gave the disciples, saying, "This is my body being given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and he said, "This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, between God and us." And he agreed, "Confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." As we read in the scripture, he knew he was going to suffer that night. Just before we take the bread, I just want you to pray in your hearts. Let this time mean something to you. Pray in your hearts as well as I pray, so that we remember the day he was crucified, that he just didn't die, but he died for us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, for you're a good God. Lord, you love us and we love you, Lord. You are our God. We surrender everything to you this time, Lord, as we remember your Son, Jesus Christ, who was crucified on our behalf, Lord. A man who knew no sin, he died for our sins. We thank you for sacrificing your only Son for us. As the love you have for us, Lord, as we share his body and his blood, we just want to give thanks to you, Lord, for the work that was done on the cross for us. You are a good God. We thank you. We honor you, Lord. We lift your name up high. In Jesus' name, amen.